This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Tuesday the 21st of March 2017. I'm Davey McJimsey. Paddy's still off paternity leave with Roisin and Joe, so it's Hitchy in charge again this week. We're going to look back at Blake's night v Sheffield, a win over the Blaze, and we're joined by none other than Todd the Killer Kelman to discuss his pride at Cardiff qualifying as the number one seed for the playoffs. As always, you can get in touch with us, Twitter at AVFTB, Facebook, email podcast at kingdomofthegiants.com. You can check out all our full unedited interviews on SoundCloud, and you can check out Jimmy Squeaker's superb pictures on our Instagram. But for now, it's time to play the music. It's time to light the lights. It's time to meet Mark Hitchcock on the AVFTB show tonight.
Good evening and welcome to A View from the Bridge, episode 251. Doesn't sound as exciting as last week's number, does it? I am joined this evening by Mr. David McJimsey. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Hitchy. Good evening, Sids.
Yes. Good evening, Simon Kitchen.
Good evening, Mr. Hitchcock. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Last time I saw you was we were drifting into different directions on a cold Friday evening in Belfast, and I hope you're well. So, yes, we will be talking about both games last weekend at the SSC Arena. The Sheffield Steelers in town on Friday, the Coventry Blaze on Saturday. We'll briefly go through the three-word weekends. I say briefly because there's been two, and look at your around-the-league news and fan agenda questions. We will also preview this weekend's doubleheader, the big doubleheader in the race for the conference title, and we'll be joined by a very, very special guest, none other than Belfast ex-heartthrob Todd Kelman. So looking first at the game on Friday night, the Sheffield Steelers in town, both teams still in with a shout of the Elite League Championship, one team with a bigger opportunity than the other. It was, though, unfortunately for the Giants, a 5-3 defeat. Mathieu Waugh with two goals, Nielsen Walker and an empty net goal for Debian for the Sheffield Steelers, and goals from Leduc, Demarais, and the best goal of the night from Blake McCackie for the Giants. Now, before we talk about the game, Sizz, and I'm going to come to you first because we were together for some of those special moments. What a night for that young man, Blake.
Yeah, again, you can't speak high enough of the organisation when they put something like that together. And you've got to touch on the Sheffield Steelers as well for this. They backed it fully, and young Blake coming on and scoring that goal. Wow, I mean, it's just unbelievable. He's realised the dream of mine. He's only 9 years of age, and I've always wanted to score a goal at the SSC Arena, so I'm a wee bit jealous of him. But plus he's equaled, Adam Keith's been in the lineup most of the season, and he's equaled Adam Keith's lineup goal already, which is, again, phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. But thoroughly well-deserved. Great job by both Adam Keith and Lawrence Moll and putting that together, and top job by the whole organisation.
One of 54 shots in the revised shot count, Davey, for the Giants against the Steelers. It was an incredible, incredible turn of events, really, when you look at that shot count. But Irvin Mustikoff was just on fire for the Sheffield Steelers, wasn't he, on Friday?
It was one of those games, whenever Desi went through on the one-on-none, and even Walter slowed one of the D-men down, put a bit of a pick on him to give him a bit of extra time, and Mustikovs comes up with that. Really, to be fair, an incredible toe save just to keep the puck out of the net. You kind of know sometimes. Sizz would be one, especially on commentary. He would see turning points in games very early, big saves from goaltenders, and he would maybe doesn't put it on out and on the live commentary, but he would turn to Johnny or he'd write it down and go, that's a game changing moment. And there was a few pivotal points. When you look at the Steelers, that 14 shots through two periods with 36 shots through the first two periods. We bombarded them. We put a lot of rubber in Mustikoff's. Okay, a lot was from the outside, and you've got to give credit to the Steelers' D as well. Cleared away in front of them and let them see the puck. And when you're seeing it like a beach ball, more often than not, you're going to save it. We could have put more pressure perhaps in the blue paint. I was getting texts from the likes of Johnny Bradshaw and stuff going, why are we not going to blue paint? You know, over the last couple of weeks, we've been going in there. We've been getting in those dirty areas. And perhaps, you know, if we want to be extra critical, that's one of the things we didn't do well enough on Friday night. And, you know, sometimes you need to go in there and get the garbage goal. But, you know, shots aren't goals. And we put a lot of rubber on. And apart from the 53 we put on, we'll probably... You know, I'm watching the game back for doing the stats. We could have had, Sizz, would it be fair to say, maybe 20 block shots as well?
Easily.
You know, the Steelers threw themselves down in front of everything. I was kind of surprised by their desperation, you know, the style of their play when ultimately wasn't really an awful lot on the line for them. Certainly not as much on the line for them as there was for Belfast. And, you know, they've came in, they've done a number on us. They've came away with a 5-3 win and... It's one we'll look back on. Yeah, we got ourselves into a bit of penalty trouble right early in the game, and we give them a bit of momentum. And disappointing night at the office, you know. Across the two games, I think we've done enough to win both of the games. It's certainly 5-on-5 against the Steelers, I thought we were more than a match for them. And you know, it's just disappointing, Hitchie, that a game where you've kind of dominated almost 2-1 on the shot count that. You haven't came away with perhaps a little bit more.
Well, one of the reasons for the shot count, surely, Simon, is the sheer amount of power play opportunities the Belfast Giants had on the night, including multiple 5-on-3s. I don't know exactly how many 5-on-3 opportunities the Giants had. There was even on one occasion the Steelers drew another penalty while Hoover Garth had his hand up in the end. There was a full 2 minutes of 5-on-3. I mean, what is it about the Belfast Giants and their inability, it seems, to score on the two-man advantage this season? Because am I right to... I heard a quote from somebody this weekend saying they haven't scored on a 5-on-3 this year or something crazy like that.
It was me. It's one of those things, Hitchy, where, you know, there's absolutely no doubt in the quality in the lineup, but whether it's overcomplicating it and, you know, certain things like that, you've got two guys down low for the defending team and the guy who's sitting at the top of the triangle... literally just trying to keep everything lay outside. And, you know, it's not for the want of chances of getting shots on target. We got that, you know, over the season for 5-on-3s, but we just couldn't find a way to put the puck past Muzhnikov's on Friday night. I mean, I don't know many times on the webcast and Jazz TV I said it. He was sensational. I thought, actually, after watching the game back on Sunday night, that... his positioning won the game. He was square to 95%, actually 99% of every shot that we put on him. So he was square to the shooter. His positioning was excellent. I mean, there was one stage where, I think it was Rutherford, took the puck just at the right circle, skated the whole way around behind the net, and Muzhnikov didn't even move from his left post. He just stayed there. The puck came right, as if he knew what Rutherford was going to do. Rutherford came right around the back of the net, threw the puck the whole way back from where he skated from. And I can't remember who it was, got the shot off, but Muzhnikov didn't even move. He just sat there, waited for the shot to come in, as if he knew where it was coming from. And he was brilliant. He was absolutely brilliant. And he's played the two times he had the doubleheader in January, and then that game on Friday night. And he was top notch. He's the best goalie in the league this season, in my opinion, by a country mile.
One hell of a claim there. I won't disagree with you. Now, the Giants-Steelers series ended 4-4 after that result. Two wins and two losses for each team in each other's barns. And there is a slight chance that we may see one more Giants-Steelers game. It would be, I think, looking at the seedings at the moment, the final, if that was to happen. And I guess, guys, that would be one hell of a game if these guys were to meet again one more time in the playoff final.
Yeah, I think it would, Hitchy. But again, you know, to get to the playoff final, you've got to beat the team in front of you, who that is at the minute, that looks like either Fife or Nottingham. And they're not going to be easy games. So, you know, you don't want to jump ahead of yourself. Like, at the end of the day, you know, whoever you play in the final is going to be a tough, tough game. But I'd really like to get there, first of all.
Absolutely. Highlights of that game, as always, on Belfast Giants TV, including have a look again at that goal for Blake. What a great night for the wee lad. The following evening, it was the Coventry Blaze who skated into the SSC Arena. This time, a victory for the Belfast Giants, 5-2. Goals from Higgins, Shields with 2, Rutherford, and an empty net goal for Mike Forney. Robinson and Godfrey returned the goals for the Coventry Blaze. It was a little bit of a closer shot count, 46-37 to the Giants, but Davey, an absolute dominating second period, wasn't it? 22-7 and a 2-0 second session, which really did put the game to bed in a way, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, and I thought perhaps, and Sis may comment whether he thinks I'm right or wrong, but I thought we looked tired in the third, and they didn't offer much coming back at us, and they didn't really push back at all. And you know, we've come up with 2 power play goals. What would have given to get them the night before? You know, it's funny how one night they go in and one night they don't. We came up against a really hot goaltender on the Friday night too. You know, like out of those 50-odd shots that were threw at him, you know, easily half of them on the power play. But on another night, a couple go in and you get a different result. I thought it was a workmanlike performance. I thought it was we got out of the traps well. You know, getting goals in the first period is always an advantage. Okay, but they've pulled one back, but we've kicked on. That second period was a good period. We got the power play goal early and in the second period, and we sort of moved on from there. And as I say, it'd not be a game that you'd want to particularly watch back again and again, but it was what it was. We got through, we got the points, we got well up in that second period, and then we sort of cruised on through the third period, and you know, we came up with a couple of goals. Obviously the empty netter at the end from Forney was nice to get Forns a goal going into what could be a big weekend ahead, and then into the playoffs. Good to see him getting that. Even if it's an empty netter, it still needs put between the pipes.
One of the things Derek Walser said in the post-game interview, Simon, was that he's got a team this year that just knows how to bounce back after a disappointing result. Did it yet again.
Yeah, I do disagree with Davey with regards to looking, you know, tired in the third. I thought we looked tired all night. You know, I really do. I mean, I know we had a good second period, but I think that was probably down to the team we were playing. Now, we mentioned on the podcast, I think it was last week, about who we thought, you know, would make it into the playoffs. If the Coventry Blaze play their last game the way they played against us, it'll be Manchester in the playoffs, because they were out of Dundee, Coventry and Manchester, and we played them all in the last 4 weeks. Coventry have been the worst team, in my opinion. I said last week, Brian Stewart has won games for them on his own. He didn't do anything the other night that really, you know, was flipping that on me and saying that I was 100% right, because he was poor on Saturday night. I thought that the goals he conceded, he certainly would have wanted at least 3 of them back. There was one that I think it was Sheds got credited for the second goal. You know, he used his blocker to paddle up in the air, but if he had been watching the play develop, then he'd have been squared the shooter. So he was just trying to cheat. I think 2 or 3 of the goals that we scored, he was just because he's used to, his position is usually that good, but he was scrambling in net, and that's not where you want to have your goaltender scrambling with a couple of games to go in the regular season and then heading into the playoffs. I talked to Danny Stewart on Friday night. He came on in between the first and second period of the Sheffield game, and you know, he was saying that, you know, the guys are really up for it and are looking to try and pick up the points against us and then move into the last weekend. But I think Manchester, if they can get the points against, pick up one of the wins against Nottingham in the next couple of days, then I would say that not Manchester deserved to go through, because Coventry were poor.
Business end of the season. Coventry obviously then went on to lose in overtime the next night at home to Brayhead. Just dragging one of the free word weekends into the conversation, Davey, because it's quite prevalent to this game. Number 2 goals for Colin Shields. Daryl Moore came with his free word weekend, which was simply Sheds, Sheds, Sheds. I think Sheds is also looking for an assist on Blake's goal on Friday night. He just keeps rolling, that man, doesn't he?
Oh, Hitchie, you've got yourself in trouble there now. That's you off the TPF Christmas dinner list. You know, just flicking up here, 28 goals, 23 assists through 62 games this season. You know, I think this is maybe the third week in a row we've talked about him. Top British forward in the league again another season. And, you know, and we chatted about him. He's certainly in the frame. Certainly in the discussion for MVP material. But, yeah, when you know, he scored some big goals this season. Some real clutch situations he's came up with the goods whenever, you know, realistically, you know, and he would be self-effacing enough to say himself, you know, you're expecting your top import forwards to be coming up with the big games and the big goals, but it's been Cheds. And as a guy who started on the fourth line, scratching around for ice time this season, stayed professional, worked at it, just kept working, kept playing his own game, come to the rink every day till he got his chance further up the lines. And, you know, it's paid dividends. He plays in every situation. One of the top penalty killers. He plays on the power play on the point. And, you know, he's gone into that slot a lot in the power play and got goals from it. He's happy to stand in there, stand in front of pucks coming in, get rebounds, get tip-ins. So, you know, he's had a really, really good season.
And good timing for the form as well for the forthcoming GB games. Yeah. Just bringing in the other free word weekend. We only had a couple. Just to really get to wrap up the emotion of the weekend. It's from Glenda, and hers was simply emotional, emotional, emotional. A split weekend results wise, but a big weekend. And I think it was all about Blake, wasn't it, this weekend? Highlights again from the Blaze game on Belfast Giants TV. Simon's last appearance, I hear, on Belfast Giants TV this season because he's off gambling in Vegas, Simon. Are the rumours true?
No, not off gambling. That's probably the wrong way of looking at it. I just go out to Vegas and give people money because I'm a crap gambler. So I'll do my best to enjoy the sunshine. However, it might not be the last time I'm on Giants TV this year, this season. The guys at Giants TV are working on a possibility of a live feed hitting Vegas and then me commentating from beside the pool. So we're waiting to find out what the situation is. How likely that's going to happen, don't know yet. But if it's not me, I'm sure Johnny will do a great job with one of the guys from the whoever's being rested.
Well, you never know. There might be the local TV company for the Vegas Golden Knights, and they might hear you, mate, and you might get snapped up. So, Good luck with that. Well, Simon has been doing his best to make his money's worth for the Belfast Giants. He caught up after the games this weekend with the head of hockey operations, Steve Thornton.
We're joined by head of hockey operations, Steve Thornton. Steve, the season's come to an end because Cardiff, congratulations to them, and we'll get that out of the way quickly, won the league tonight in Sheffield, but it's been a really long season. Things are a couple of games to go against Cardiff, ironically, in next weekend, but how's things panned out for you up to this point?
Well, obviously, I mean, we wanted to win the league, so it's disappointing that these games going into Cardiff aren't meaningful ones. We wanted to control our destiny, but when you drop games like we did, you know, down the stretch, I suppose that's what happens, and you got to tip your hat to Cardiff as well. They've had a great season. You know, they came in here and they took the 4 points, and I think that was the turning point, I suppose, where we felt like we were chasing. And we've had a fairly good run, and if you look at the standings where we're at, like getting to this point, you know, I think we got 72 points now. We've done enough to win the league, I think, when you're budgeting for points in a league with this much parity. So I'm proud of the guys in terms of the record, and you know, I think they've been playing really entertaining hockey. But it's hard to say that you're satisfied when you don't have the trophy.
And obviously, with the changes you made in the summer, you spoke with Derek Walzer at the end of last season, brought in guys like Salviano, Martinelli, Alex Foster, and you know, there's been some really good improvements compared to last year. And going on a 1-1 basis against the Sheffield Steelers, for argument's sake, you know, you did much better against them, against the top teams as well this year.
Yeah, well, I think so. I think you could look back at last season and say that we lost any chance of winning the title because we went 1-7 against Sheffield. You can't really say that this year. Like, there's games we would love to have back, and I'm sure there's a lot of games the fans would love to have back as well. But these things happen in sport. You know, you lose games that you probably should win, and sometimes you win games you probably should have lost. But I think the consistency is the key when you're playing for a 52-game league title, and the games where you're slightly tired or you don't have your full roster, or you just find a way. You know, and I think there's a couple of games we probably could have picked up points, but overall, you know, 72 points at this point, 2 games to go against Cardiff. It's with this much parity and every night not knowing if you're going to win based on the competition. It's not like it was three, 4, 5 years ago. It's a pretty good result, and I think the focus now has to be on obviously getting the conference title if we can get it, and then peaking for the playoffs.
You'd mentioned at the start of the season when we spoke that you thought 72 points would win the league this year. Is that obviously it's turned out slightly more than that, and it just goes to show how competitive the league was this year.
Yeah, we did. Like, and we mapped it out. We looked at what teams were signing, and there really is no easy games in the season. You can't guarantee yourself 2 points on any night this year. And with the Nottinghams and the Sheffields and that team Coventry has got a great roster. There's nothing easy. So we felt that, if you can get to 70 points, you're going to give yourself a chance of winning it. If you get into the mid 70s, you're probably going to win it. And you got to tip your hat again to Cardiff. Like, they've found consistency. They've got a solid team, and I think they've gutted out some wins. Certainly early on, they gutted out some wins. That games that they've clawed back. Like, I think they were down by 2 goals going into the third period in a lot of games. They did it to us here. They were down by 3 goals, and they came back and they won those games, and that's what you need to do. We've had a couple that we would love to have back, including that one Cardiff game, and that's what win you championships.
We got the semi-finals against Cardiff in the Challenge Cup. We've chased them for the league. Obviously come up short in both challenges, and heading into the playoff. Don't know who we're going to play yet. It's going to be decided in the next 10 days. Have you got a preference between Fife and Nottingham?
No preference. I think all teams are equally as potent. You saw what Fife did to us in their building, right when we were on the hunt of possibly taking over first place at that point. So they got a solid team, and if you take your foot off the gas against anybody, you're gonna get punished. So, Nottingham, that 4-5 game is always going to be a tough one, but. You look at what Coventry's done over the last few years. They've found a way to get into the playoffs, and they've made it to the finals 2 years in a row, winning it 1 year on extremely solid goaltending. So when you're going into a 2-game series home and home, you just got to worry about what you're doing. You got to worry about your team. You got to worry about peaking and making sure guys' energy levels are where they need to be. You're getting your special teams going and getting your goaltenders going, because that's what wins championships and playoffs.
It's been a busy year for you. Obviously the Giants and then the NCAA and the World Championships in another four and a half weeks' time. You're going to get a chance to slow down during the summer?
Well, the summer, sometimes it heats up for the summer, and then this year with the World Championships, it's, I think, going nuclear right now. There's a lot going on, obviously, with the six teams coming in the end of April. It's going to be a great event for the city, a great event for the Giants, and great event for hockey fans. This time of the year, you're focusing on sponsorship and returning players and thinking about your roster for next season, but we're not really doing that until we get through this season, and we feel there's a bit of unfinished business. We really like this team that we have. We feel that it's got a championship caliber players on it, and it would be disappointing to go home this year without silverware, so that's the focus.
I'll give you a bit of your sponsorship help for next season. The Funicab deal that we have this year are going to extend for another year.
Well, thank you very much, Simon. And we're glad not only to have you with Funicab, we're also glad to have you back on the webcast, because you're the superstar there. Thank you very much.
I'm blushing. Thanks very much, Steve. Thank you.
So thank you there to Steve for his time, and thank you, Simon, for asking all those fantastic questions. We're going to look around the league. The first thing, obviously, that happened this weekend, we'll kind of cover in the latter half of the show with the weekend preview and the Cardiff Devils getting the number one seed. Let's look at the playoff race. We looked at it last week. It's changed up a little bit. Dundee got a huge 6-3 win in Manchester to put them on the verge of a playoff spot. One win from 2 games versus Fife will secure that, but they may not even need that, depending on what happens with the Coventry Blaze and the Manchester Storm. Coventry play in Sheffield on Sunday. They're 2 points ahead of Manchester, who have Nottingham away on Wednesday night, and they're at home to the Panthers on Sunday. Guys, has your opinion changed, or do you still think Manchester misses out?
Who have they got? Sorry, say it again. The Nottingham on Wednesday.
Manchester, Nottingham away Wednesday and home on Sunday. Coventry away in Sheffield on Sunday. Coventry are 2 points ahead.
I think the problem for Manchester is I don't see where their wins coming from. If they get, I don't think Coventry will get any more points. Quickly through the league table up here. Hitchy, give me a second. I think there's 2 points in it, isn't there? But Manchester would be ahead on regulation wins at the minute.
I think that is right. Yeah.
If Manchester get 2 points out of the 2 games against Nottingham, they would go to the show, because I don't believe that the Coventry Blaze will get anything in Steeltown. But it's difficult to think Manchester have lost 10 of their last 11 games, something like that. And I know they've got injury problems there too. So it's going to be difficult for them. I hope for Pash and for for Neil that, you know, they do go in. You want to see your mates doing well, obviously, but it's going to be difficult for them. I think Wednesday night at home to Nottingham, I don't see them going to the NIC and getting anything. That all depends on of course, if, you know, do Manchester or do Nottingham play Paclon Nets? Do they play Vickman? Do they play, who's the third goalie there?
Dan Green,
you know, do they play Dan Green there? So, you know, who's no mug either? You know, they've got three good goaltenders there. So it's going to be difficult for Manchester. They're lacking goals at the minute and they're down. They've got a couple more injuries picked up at the weekend there. So, you know, I still think that what was said, and sadly for Pash, who felt like with us last week about it, that it's going to be very difficult for them to get into the playoffs at this stage.
Well, Pash can always come to Hooters with us on Saturday night, can't he? So he's always got that. Simon?
I think that, again, I just touched on it there towards the end of the we're discussing the Coventry game. Coventry were really poor on Saturday night against us. It was one of the hardest games I've had to call all season because it was a wee bit bored, to be honest. But, you know, they've got some really good players, Coventry, individuals. But this year, they just haven't performed as a team as often as they should have. And, you know, that it's, I can't see them winning against Sheffield. I can see the Manchester Storm picking up a win against Nottingham. But I thought, to be honest, I thought that Coventry would have won against Brayhead when we talked about this last week. So Dundee, I think Dundee are going to get in. I do think they'll pick up at least a point against the Fife Flyers this weekend. You know, Dundee play well at home, and they when they get a chance to pick up that win against Manchester on Sunday night, was it 6-3 against Manchester?
Yeah,
that's absolutely massive, and I'm sure Davies BFF will be absolutely over the moon about that. But again, Coventry and Manchester, it's down to those two for me, and I wouldn't be surprised if Manchester get a win against the Panthers this week. I'm sure our good mate Neil Russell will be on the Gary Moran, the champ, put Dan Green in net for one of those games.
Well, keeping on Coventry, the news broke just before the weekend that their British star Russ Cowley is set to retire at the age of 33. 922 appearances for the club after this weekend across 15 seasons. Second in the all-time Elite League appearances. He also had a year in Cardiff with 804. 75 caps for GB. And the number 17 jersey will be retired by the Coventry Blaze at the end of the season. A great servant to the Blaze and also to Team GB. And always a sad time when one of the Brits retires. Now, we're going to go on to the fan agenda. As always, it's a bit of a mixed bag in terms of a little bit of anger, a little bit of positivity, a little bit of defensiveness. We're going to start with one from at WeFill56, Philip Armstrong. Davey, I'll go to you. He asks, you'll love this one. He asks, what needs to change to stop the team from choking in the big games? When it comes down to it, this team bottles the major games.
What do we need to do to stop choking in big games? It's a very good question, Hitchy, because we've spoke about the Sheffield game, and, you know, you can't always use the excuse you came up with against a hot goaltender, but we did come up against a very hot goaltender. You know, what more, if you looked at that game sheet, and, you know, what more could we have done on Friday night? We dominated possession. We won the penalty battle 8-4, with 8 power plays to Sheffield's 4. We threw 25, 30 and more shots in our goaltender, which, you know, a goaltender saving on an average of even Mustakov's 920 or whatever, you know, you throw 10 shots at him, you should get one goal. We threw 53 shots at him. You know, on a good night, we get 4 goals there. You know, we've conceded 5 off 28, which is, you know, a defensive problem that we've talked about all season. Net front coverage wasn't there at times. We made some basic errors, so I don't think it's choking as much as in big games there has been an element of individual errors and maybe a breakdown defensively. I think Derek Walters came out a lot this season and talked about, you know, the individual mistakes in defence and that net front coverage we've talked about. We struggle to clear the D zone at times and we put pressure on ourselves, then we can't get it cleared, you can't get line changes, and ultimately the other team comes up with a goal on those kind of plays. So I don't think it's a bottle job as such. I'm only thinking back to the Sheffield game. I'd like to I would have to think of other games where, you know, where people are saying, well, we choked it, and have a look back at them to really get a clear thought in my head as to, you know, was it a bottle job? Was there other factors at play? Was it a good goaltending performance? Was it a bad performance? Just, you know, you can't win every game in this league, but there has been a period of time now. It's three seasons since we took any silverware back to the SSE, and I suppose, you know, when you look at it, you know, there's an argument to be made that it has been big games that cost us. But, you know, you say it's big games that cost us. Going to Fife and losing 9-5 has cost us dearly. I was writing the article for the Playoffs magazine there, for the playoff programme. You know, we started the season, first 20 games, we were only about 500, you know. So the league being so critical that you can lose the league in September, October, November time, and I believe that's probably when we lost it. Our first 20 games in the league, you know, our next 30 games, we took 45 is 60 points. You know, so we were as strong as anything in the country this year, and 5-on-5 would be exceptional. Last 15 games this season, yeah, we dropped the two to Cardiff at home and the one to Sheffield at home, but if you take them in isolation, I think the damage was done to us. We didn't get off to a good start, and we were poor through October, early November. You know, there's no escaping that.
Well, if you look at it, I'm just looking back over the Belfast Giants championships in their time. The league titles you've won in 2012 and 2014, certainly the poor lady, they were wrapped up early. The Belfast Giants haven't won, because obviously I'm going back to the question here that Philip asks about choking the big games, perceived big games. Coming into the playoffs, the Belfast Giants haven't won a cup final or a playoff final since 2010. I mean, guys, does that concern you? League championships are a marathon, not a sprint. But it's been 7 years since you've won a major final, and I don't want to be too negative here, but do you see this as the kind of team that can get to that final, not bottle it, and do what needs to be done to lift the trophy at the end of the season?
Yeah, I can. You know, what was the last final we got to and we lost?
It was the year that you lost to the Steelers in the playoff final and the Nottingham Panthers in the Challenge Cup final. I don't think you've been in a final since.
Right. The game against the Steelers in Nottingham was a brilliant game. Went the overtime.
Yeah.
And they scored an overtime goal. Can't complain about that. Two really good teams played that night. The same against the Panthers. You know, the Panthers, I think we had to go back to Pantherland in the second leg, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Murphy was dying. Sure, Murphy was really sick with food poisoning. Yep. And played.
That's right. And again, same thing. You know, I absolutely 100% agree with Davey on the first part. But with regards to going back to 2010 for a playoff final, let me tell you something. There's some really good teams in this league, and sometimes you just have to tip your hat to them. Like that Sheffield win, you know, it hurt at the time. An hour and a half later, it was fine over it. You know, it is what it is. You do your best. If you think that our guys are going out there to lose, nah, Phil, you're deluded, mate, if that's what you're thinking. Absolutely not. You know, it's a tough, tough, tough league. There's some really good teams in it this year. There were some really good teams in it last year. But I do fancy us to get to the final, and I do fancy us to win it this year.
Good stuff. Now, Stevie at Belfast Teal, he's kind of in the same camp of you guys. I'm going to read what he's put. His was so long, he had to screenshot it. It didn't fit in a tweet. He's put, I understand everyone wants trophies, but looking at the bigger picture, it's a damn hard league to win these days as every team has talent. Look at our stats every season. We're always in the mix. Wasn't that long ago Cardiff finished ninth. Good point. We are never at that level. I may be in the minority, but coach hasn't got the recognition that he deserves for the past 2 years. Do you think the fan base are too harsh on him? Are we far too impatient with the players? 1 week, everyone says they're great, and the next week, everyone says they should leave. Do you both agree with Stevie there?
Who are we being too hard on there?
The coach. I think he's looking at Derek Walser there, yeah.
You know, look at our Twitter feed. Whenever we lose a game and we ask for TFAs, you know, we're inundated with them. Whenever we win, you can't get a question. It's just... It's knee-jerk reaction, it's passion as well. You know, people take defeat much more, you know, personally than the, you know, victory. You go, you celebrate, it's back, and then it's back to the next, you know, you don't worry about it the next week, whereas a defeat, you're probably still sucking over on Tuesday, Wednesday afternoon, still in a bit of a mood about it, and you know, they're coming, they're expecting us to blast people out of the water as well on the podcast about it. And, you know, there's reasons for defeats and there's reasons, and we go over them and we try to be as analytical as we can on why we think defeats have happened. But you can't just keep, you know, throwing guys under the bus every week and going, you know, he had a bad game, get rid of him. You know, it's over the course of a season, we haven't made changes. And, you know, whenever we were going through a bad time in late September, October, early November, and we were coming on these podcasts and certain players were getting criticised more often than not, and we're going, oh, there'd have to be changes and he has to go and we need to do this and do that. And we stuck with what we had. Derek Walsh or Steve Thornton and their assistant coaches, the likes of Van der Meer and Benny and Kiefer, that believed in the roster that had been assembled. And as I said there, we took 45 out of 60 points, an exceptional return. We went on big, big streaky run. And, you know, we proved that Walsh and Thornton and the organisation recruited well. This is a good team. This is a team that, as just on another point that it was that playoff article, the amount of points that the Belfast Giants have won this season would have won the league the last 3 years. Cardiff have just streaked away to a different level this season, kind of like we did the year under Paul Eady. You know, they got in front, they kept their foot down, and they went away and they won it well. And sometimes you just have to tip your cap to another team. I think Sis said that earlier as well. You know, you can't take it. It's disappointing and it stings me more than anyone. And I love Todd, good mate and all, and I had to text him the other night to say congratulations, and that stung. But sometimes, you know, there's a better team than you. And it's not down to our recruitment. It's just down to that they had an exceptional season. They beat us by... They're a couple of points. They're 4 or 5 points ahead of us over 50 games. It's not like they've streaked away and won it by 20 points. We're right there.
I'd like to confirm to everyone listening to the podcast that when the Steelers beat the Giants in big games, I don't get a text off Davey. I normally get a punch and also one off Simon as well. Next question comes from Gary Jackson. This is quite an interesting one, actually. I'm going to go to you, Sis, with this one. Does the Giants' travel schedule hamper the team? Is the reason we have only won the league when we have been by far the best team because of this schedule? Super League, Elite League, doesn't matter. If we're in a battle, we always seem to come up short. I mean, you're always going to have a travel issue. You're the only team that has to cross water. Is it an issue, Simon?
I don't think you can use it as an excuse, to be honest. You know, a lot of the time they're flying. I mean, if they're playing in North America in the AHL, you know, a lot of the time they're taking a bus. You know, it's the same in Europe. You know, a lot of the time they're taking the bus as well. And I just don't think you can use it as an excuse. We've been playing in the Elite League / Seconda League for 17 years. And if anybody is using it as an excuse, then, you know, they shouldn't, in my opinion. So I think it's, you know, I think if you look at the schedule that the Belfast Giants have this season, you know, they always try and get their home game on a Saturday night. That means there's only one travel day that week. Do you know what I mean? So if they had a game, they have a double header, and they're traveling on a Friday night to play Saturday night and Friday night, then technically it's only one travel day. But if they're away on the first night and home on the second night, they're traveling to the away game. They've got to travel the whole way back again, prepare for the game at home. So I don't think you can use it as an excuse. Ideally, it's difficult when you're taking the ferry because it's a longer day. The guys are usually up from early doors to get the ferry across, and then they've got to travel on the bus. So I think they'd much rather jump on a plane, 45-minute flight or an hour's flight, wherever they're going to, and push on for the game itself. But no, not for me. I don't think you can say that.
Would you say, Simon, that's the reason why Belfast have potentially given up the second leg of the playoff quarterfinal? They want to play at home on the Saturday night, not have to travel twice, and they'd rather do that than bring somebody back to Belfast on the Sunday?
Yeah, absolutely. One day's travel. Right. You save an awful lot more energy if you're sitting in your bed instead of getting up early to get a flight or a ferry.
Depends what you're doing in your bed. Last one I'm going to ask you both here, from Daryl Moore. It's a bit of a light-hearted one. We need a bit something light-hearted. And Stephen Thompson, I'm afraid I'm not going to read yours because it's about what happens if the Belfast Giants don't win the playoffs and what would you change. Let's cross that bridge when we need to cross it. Daryl's question is fantastic. It looks like him and his family are playoff virgins, and they're asking, and I'm going to ask you first, Davey, what are your best and worst memories of the playoffs? And it doesn't have to be hockey related.
I'll keep mine hockey related then, because there's been some belters away from the rink. I'll tell you that. There's been some, I don't know how many years, 14 years or something now, traveling up to Nottingham or traveling across to Nottingham every first weekend of April and having some fantastic times. But I suppose the outstanding memory was 2010 for me, winning it, getting down, we're involved in the podcast then, being down the locker room, having a laugh with Mo and getting a medal from Killer. You know, we just had the right place at the right time. There's a few spare medals. We were there. Cheers, guys. There's a medal. You know, that's one that's in the top drawer. It's something, a nice wee piece of memorabilia. That was a great season. And I suppose the pure devastation of the Steelers defeat, more so than the Panthers won the year before, the defeat against the Steelers, because it was a team that promised so much, a team that dominated the final. What did you call the Steelers goalie that year?
Frank Doyle. He was incredible.
Frank Doyle made two saves that genuinely, if you go back and look at them, no business making. And the Giants probably should have won that. I think Kiefer never played in the final through injury. He got hurt in the semi-final. That was a big loss. Sweezer had the ability to, you know, in 2010, carried the Giants to the playoff success, and he was back that year and didn't have his best game until, I think, he got called out by Todd, actually, in the airport the following day, and as one of the guys that never stood up in the finals. It was disappointing. That was probably as disappointing as I've felt, you know, going all those years, going there. You know, we've lost games before. And all this nonsense about stand up if your team's not here and it's a better weekend when your team's not there. Absolute nonsense. Absolute balderdash. If your team's not there, why are you there?
No comment. Simon, are your best and worst memories involving being at the rink or at the jury's home?
No, I had a brilliant night in the... I went to... You know, one night, and
where was that? Sorry, Simon.
Davey, are you going to edit that out? You'll take it?
No.
I had a good night in LA Casino one night, and 2010, same as Davey's final.
Well, semi-final was exceptional too, wasn't it? The shootout win.
Yeah, but no, listen, the playoff weekends can be fantastic, but they're really not much fun if your team's not there. And in all fairness, if your team doesn't win.
Well, I was going to say, I think I'd rather my team didn't qualify than losing in the final, but I'm sure you'll have a great time, Daryl, and thank you for your question. So finishing tonight's podcast, we're going to look forward to the big weekend doubleheader in Cardiff. The Belfast Giants are looking to secure the conference with two regulation wins in Ice Arena Wales. And I'm delighted that we are joined by none other than the managing director of the Cardiff Devils, former Belfast Giants heartthrob, Todd Kelman. Todd, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for having me on the show. Always a pleasure. Never a chore.
You're very welcome, and congratulations first and foremost on securing the first seed for the playoffs. You must be thrilled.
You can't say it, can you? You just can't say it, can you?
Can't say what?
Securing the first seed for the playoffs. I love it.
Yes.
Anyways, keep going.
Yeah, obviously it's a big honour.
We're all playing for.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, any other scenario other than two Belfast wins in regulation this weekend would see you guys get the conference and the third piece of the Grand Slam, because obviously there's four trophies in the Grand Slam, as we all know. How are you going to be approaching these games? You've obviously just had a huge weekend, and I suppose it's just keeping that momentum flowing.
Well, to be honest, we told the guys we don't even want to see you till don't worry about coming to the rink till Wednesday. So We're letting the guys enjoy themselves for a couple of days, but we want to win. We want to win the conference. We will focus on that just like we do any other game. You got to remember, we're the team that watched video before the third and fourth place game last year, so we are we are going to take it seriously. We want to, you know, we have two sold out games. I think everyone, including us, assumed that the league would come down to that last weekend, and our fans did. And we're sold out both games, and we want to put on a great weekend of hockey for the Giants fans and for the Devils fans. So, we're going for it. We want to win it. We want to win both games. But who knows? Like, we're coming up against a Giants team that is a very good team and battled to the very end. And you can't take anything away from the season they're having. I think they've been brilliant, especially as of late. I think Sheffield did us a huge favor on Friday night. Sheffield didn't win, and we didn't want to go into the last weekend of the season with two games to having to win against the Belfast Giants, and we're glad we didn't have to do that. So,
I mean, is there a temptation for Andrew Law to perhaps rest some of your players? I know Bouncy played on Saturday night in Sheffield when some people, I think a few in Belfast, were hoping that maybe he couldn't. Will there be a few
he shouldn't have.
Left?
Bouncy should not have played on Saturday night. Absolutely not. I don't think he'll play. I'm not sure, but we're lucky because, like the Giants, we have a very good backup in Tom Murdy. I think the Giants, I think that's done them huge favors this year, having Murphy and Whistle. I think Whistle's hurt right now, but I think that's been a huge part of the success in Belfast. A very clever move by Thornton and Walzer to sign the ball. So, but we're a very confident team with Murdy or with Bounds. So I think whoever plays, but I'm assuming it's going to be Murdy. I can't see Bouncy playing this weekend.
Davey, bringing you into the conversation. I'm sure you'll be crossing the bridge from Bristol this weekend to watch the two games. Big games for the Giants. You mentioned last week that every trophy is important. You want to win this conference, and I guess you'll be hoping that the Cardiff Devils don't take these games as seriously as the Belfast Giants.
In a way, Hitchie, you want to beat the team that's the best, and the Cardiff Devils have been the best team all season long. You can't take anything away from them. You know, finishing the season as the number one seed for the playoffs was always going to be everyone's target, and you know the best we can do at the minute is go and win that conference. It's something I've said all season long and over the last numbers of seasons. It's a trophy, and you want to win it. Okay, it's maybe not celebrated in the same fashion as maybe winning the playoffs would be or the Challenge Cup would be, but you know, it's something to get your name on. We're not going to be doing a Bray Head and playing We Are the Champions. Should we come up with two wins at the weekend? But it's, you know, it's a trophy. It's there to be won, and you know, you want to stop other teams lifting trophies, and you want to lift them yourself. So, from that point of view, we'll have to go in, and we need to get, you know, momentum's everything in hockey, and we need to go into this playoff quarter final, whoever it's going to be. You know, we beat Cardiff twice the weekend. It looks probably fixed that we'd get Dundee. So, you know, that's no easy fixture either. Yeah. Mark Lefebvre's team's very up and down, but can score goals in any given night. So, you know, that wouldn't be an easy fixture either. But you know, we want to go into Ice Arena Wales here and, you know, try and give the Devils a bit of a bloody nose, because, you know, to be the best, you've got to beat the best. And, you know, at the minute, the Cardiff Devils are the best of the bunch.
And Simon, it was announced this evening by the Elite League that the playoff winners would get the spot in the Continental Cup. But if the Cardiff Devils or the Nottingham Panthers win the playoffs, being in the Champions Hockey League, it will go to the second placed team in the Elite League. So that's another big goal for the weekend to ensure you finish above Sheffield and potentially get into Europe next season.
Yeah, I think it's important again that, for as Davey touched on there, it's important for the build momentum leading into the playoffs. And you know, Todd's done a great job over in Cardiff. We all know that. As much as I'd love to be there, I'd hit him a slap, but he's done a brilliant job. And you know, it, as Davey says, you know, it's going to be really tough getting into Cardiff this week, but we've won there this season. You know, the guys are capable of doing so, and they'll be looking forward to the challenge. So it's I think it's a good move by the Elite League to say that, you know, either if Nottingham, which let's be honest, they're not going to win the playoffs, but if Cardiff win the playoffs, then it goes to second place. So it's a big target to dangle in front of you to go for.
Now, the Continental Cup's being dangled there, Todd. You're in the Champions Hockey League next year, and you must be relieved to be in a proper arena now you've qualified for it and not over the car park in that tent. It's going to be a big occasion, isn't it?
Yeah, it's something we actually never even thought about until today. I think we were so focused on what we had to do to win the league, we didn't really ever talk to the champ about the Champions Hockey League. I actually haven't even talked to Lordo about it at all, even now. So I got a call this morning from the Champions Hockey League just to kind of go through the process. But it's I got to be honest with you, like the Champions Hockey, it's great to take part in it, but it's something that distracts from the league and stuff. And we'll take part and we'll. Our fans will get to see three different teams from Europe that they'll never see, and I think that's cool. But we're under no illusions about the Champions Hockey League. You know, like it's I think the Continental Cup probably hurt the Nottingham Panthers this year as much as they want it. And you know, it's a great accomplishment. It's great for the league. I'm glad we weren't the team that had to participate in it, because I think it probably hurt their domestic season, because playing 3-3 four times or whatever they had to do to win the Continental Cup. And it matters to the it matters to the Panthers, and it matters to their fan base, but to the collective, you know, to the league, it's not a big deal to the other fan bases. And you know, it's interesting, we all play these exhibition games against European opponents and stuff like that, and everyone thinks, oh, our fans want to see different opponents. Well, we had a bigger crowd against the Coventry Blades than we did against the KHL, and that's kind of a testament of British hockey. They want to see the rivalries. As much as they say, oh, we get sick of seeing Coventry, we play Coventry more than any other team. And yet, you know, we had 500 more people in the building to watch us play Coventry than we did the KHL. So, but you know what? It's interesting about this weekend, because, you know, we joke around. It's very difficult. I don't think anyone really could understand how difficult it is for me playing against the team that I love and the team that I was a part of for so many years. And that will never change. Like I said to Thornton, I always hope the Giants finish second. You know, I always hope the Devils now finish first, but I will always, always have, you know, a spot in my heart for the Giants and for Belfast. I love the city. I have so many friends there. Sizz is one of my best buddies. And I talk to him, you know, regularly about this, but I you know, if there was a way that they could finish second and not have to beat my team now, I wish Belfast could finish second, because I think it would be great if, you know, I think, no offense to Brayhead, but the year they've had to get the second seed, it's kind of, you know, it's not really fair when you think about it, because they haven't had a great year. They haven't really even been in the mix for the league, and they're going to get the second seed in playoffs if Belfast don't beat us this weekend. And it's, I don't think it's right, to be honest with you. I think Belfast deserve the second seed if they finish second, you know?
Todd, if we go back, I think it's 3 years. Is it 3 years now you're with Cardiff?
Yeah, this is my third year.
Your third year. You know, whenever you went 3 years ago, you were into the big blue tent. Things over the last number of years prior to that in Cardiff had been very up and down with Pope and Reagan and all that. And you came in and obviously new broom sweeps clean and all, but you must have set yourself targets. Are you kind of ahead of where you expected to be, or was like kind of year three, first year in the new building, was it a realistic target to build a roster that could, you know, finish the season first seed playoffs?
Well, no, like the interesting thing, the day we took over the team, my first day, when, you know, if you remember back, we took over, I think it was like June or July, maybe it was July 2014, but I did a radio interview with BBC Sport Wales the day I arrived. So I was doing double duty. I was sort of like handing over the Giant stuff 3 days a week, and then I was coming to Cardiff for 2 days a week. I did that for about a month. And my first interview here on the day I arrived, I said, listen, I know, you know, they said, well, what are you going to do with this club? And I said, I guarantee a league championship in 5 years. And they said, wow, we haven't won a league championship in 17 years. And I said, well, we will win it within 5 years. And the guy kind of laughed, and then off the air, he was joking. He's like, I don't think you should say that. Like the Devils fans are crazy about this. Like, you know, it's a real thing. You know, they've talked about, they've been so close so many times, and they've let it slide. They've been in so many playoff finals, and they've lost. And I said, yeah, but that's the old Devils team, and like that is someone else's past. That isn't mine. That isn't ours. And all we did was we took what we were doing in Belfast and we brought it to Cardiff. And like, you know, I still think that Belfast is, you know, as far as a big arena team that does things right, Belfast is still leading the way. Like it, you know, like. We sell out every game, but we only have 3,000 seats to sell. And Belfast, to me, is what every team needs. They need a great rink. They easily have the best rink in the league. And I'm not just saying this because I've had two beers and it's my old team. They have the best rink in the league. They know how to treat their fans. They have the best relationship with the media. And all of the teams should be aspiring to be like that. And that's all we did when we got here. We just said, you know, we didn't reinvent the wheel. We just did what we were doing in Belfast and did it in Cardiff. And I think that it works. And you know, we are lucky. We have a great fan base here. We have a passionate fan base. You know, for this weekend, I think I could have sold this rink out three times over. I think we could have sold 10,000 seats, to be honest with you. It's been absolutely crazy. We've been sold out for the Giants for 2 weeks now. And I think it's because people thought the league was coming down to this weekend. So I'm relieved that it's not coming down to this weekend. It's always nice to kind of get out of the way. But, yeah, things are going well. We're happy. But by no means are we taking our foot off the gas. I still think that Sheffield and Belfast could do it in the playoffs. I hope it's us. And that's, you know, come Wednesday, that's all we're focusing on. We're enjoying for the next couple of days, but, you know, Wednesday morning we start all over again and we start watching video and we start doing everything to prepare for Belfast.
You know, Killer, sorry, says before you go there, just I think it was Doug, Big Doug, that coined the phrase, you know, the collective exhale. Whenever the Giants won that league under him, whatever it was, 5 or 6 years ago now, and you know, that was a team that probably should have gone and won the playoffs as well. A bit like 80s team maybe should have gone on and won the playoffs as well. But after winning the league, you know, Doug coined it as a bit of a collective exhale from the team. The team kind of took their foot off the gas. Is there any danger of that happening in Cardiff, or is Lordo really the, you know, the sergeant major there, and he'll have the team, he'll not let that happen, or try not to let it happen?
I think experience, you know, like when you've experienced it before, you know, the year with Doug was, you know, the year we won the league with Doug was, I thought that was something special because I didn't think we were the best team that year. I remember saying at Christmas when, do you remember Brock McBride? Was it Brock McBride who I thought was the best player in the league? He quit the team. He went to Austria. He left. And then Benoit Doucette got hurt. He had that horrific knee injury. And I remember saying to Doug, I was like, if we win the league this year, this is your Sistine Chapel. If we can win the league this year, we can win it any year because we should not win it with losing our two best players. But we won it that year. Robert Dowd and Craig Peacock stepped up, two young grits, and they led their team in scoring. And we probably weren't the best team, but we won it. The year, the one that frustrates me is the year with 80, and it wasn't 80's fault. It was the team's fault. I think we got cocky. We just ran away with the league that year. And we screwed up in the Challenge Cup final. We were up big time, and Murphy played when he shouldn't have played. He was very sick that night. And then the playoffs, we lost in overtime that game. But, like, we should have won it all that year. That's the year that is the most frustrating for me because we were by far and away the best team in the league that year. By far and away. No one was even close to us. And we messed up. We really messed up.
Now, taking your Cardiff hat off for a second, Todd, and putting the Elite League hat on, my good friend Neil Russell mentioned there's a board meeting this week. I'm sure they're always a laugh. Anything on the agenda that we should know about as the loyal fan base of the Elite League? Anything being discussed that may have happened recently?
No. Nothing. I have the smarts to keep my mouth shut at board meetings, as in once I leave. I talk a lot during the meeting, but when it's over, I don't like to talk about what happened there. I don't think it's my spot or anyone's spot to really talk about what happened in the arena or in the meetings. I think Sinzi sent the Elite League into a tailspin when he said it's a bad day for British hockey. We're still trying to figure out what that was all about. I don't think there's anything out of the ordinary. We're going to be talking about league format with, you know, cause if we have Guildford and Milton Keynes in, are we going to do conferences? Are we going to do a straight league? We'll be talking about that tomorrow. We'll be talking about playoff structure. We'll probably talk about locker rooms in the Challenge Cup in the playoffs. But yeah, whatever. It's they're always dramatic.
Yeah, I mean, lots being said at the moment, isn't it? Sorry, this is about the which teams will be in which conference next year. I guess that's not something you'll be able to discuss right now, but is that something that you think will be decided by you guys tomorrow?
I think so. Like, I think if it changes, it would be logical to go geographically. I don't know if teams will want to go for that. I don't know if Belfast will want that. I don't know if Manchester will want that. To be honest with you, for me in Cardiff, I don't care, you know, because we have a different arrangement. We don't, you know, we have our own arena. We can play every weekend. So we're not worried about whatever number of games it is. And travel for us is not great anytime. So, because we're so far down south. And so I don't really care how it works out. I think I've said it before. I just, you know, I had a battle to fight in Belfast about conferencing. When I'm in Cardiff, it's a little different. I don't really care. I just will go along with whatever people, the majority. So if people want a conference system, then I'm up for the conference system. If people want a straight league, I'd be fine with that too.
Todd, obviously picking up first place on Saturday night, and then, you know, I'm sure you had a few drinks last night in the Ice Arena Wales. How have you managed to get Shauna to give you a three-day pass out?
Luckily, Shauna's not on Twitter, or she's not a regular listener of You From the Bridge. So I do what I want, Simon. You know that. I run the show.
You do, man. I know you do. Yeah. You keep telling yourself that.
Luckily, it's different now, because my excuse in Belfast was, for whatever reason, my wife loves Simon for whatever reason. And as long as I told her that I was going out with Simon, I could do whatever I wanted. But I don't have that in Cardiff, right? So I'm hoping I'm hoping Simon comes across for the weekend so I can say, well, Sisson is in town, and then I can go out with him. So hopefully you're coming across.
No, I'm not be there. I've got to Vegas on Tuesday, mate.
Oh, come on, Simon. Come on.
Go to Vegas next Tuesday, so I haven't ruled it out 100% yet, but it's about 99%.
We'll all be at the playoffs. We'll all be at the playoffs, I'm sure. So, I mean, Todd, we joke about it, but congratulations on the number one seeding in the league championship. 20 years since the Cardiff Devils last won the league. To put that into context, the season the Cardiff Devils last won the top league in the UK, you were in your final year for Bowling Green State University, playing NCAA hockey. Yep. Bloody hell. Yep. Simon Kitchen that year posted 5+19 in 21 games for the Castlereagh Knights, 90 penalty minutes, which is a franchise record in a season. So,
I play a bit of bad cruciate as well.
There you go. And we won't talk about what Davey was up to back in 1997, because it's a cross-community podcast. So thank you very much for your time, Todd. I'm sure you'll have a few more drinks tonight, and we'll hopefully see you in Nottingham for the playoff finals weekend.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Todd.
Cheers.
Okay. Talk to you later.
So, final weekend of the regular season, and then it's to the real business of the playoffs, the one that matters to the teams that didn't win the league. Any other business? Davey, any other business from you?
No, nothing really, other than I never really said anything about young Blake at the start of the show. Laura Small, once again, and Kiefer stood up and made this night happen. And honestly, I was watching it, obviously, on the podcast rather than, or the webcast rather than being at the arena, and it was goosebumps. See, when Kiefer was skating round, and then Vandy took over and skated Blake round, and then you see little touches from the league today, like putting it on Point Streak, Elite Prospects, giving him his own profile page. I've got him into the club's all-time stats. I'll put them out at the end of the season as well. You know, all little things, little memories for him. And scoring the goal was Dylan's idea, Dylan Cackey's idea. He came to Laura and said, you know what, we would really put the bookend on the night, letting him score a goal. And, you know, for another kid who's going through tough times of his own, those two are inseparable, brilliant mates. I'm not sure about Dylan's flow. We're going to have words about that. He's grown a bit of a thorns out there, you know. You know, for him to come to Laura and say, this would make it even better for my mate, and then being able to see that in reality, and what's happened from then, going the stats guys and all getting involved, it was just a really, really nice. I'd seen a video of that. For dear sake, it was near tears watching it. Well, it wasn't tears, let's be honest. You know, and I love all these wee guys, and I love what our organization's able to do for them, and I just wish them all the best, because they've got some really hard times coming up ahead, but they've got all of us behind them.
Absolutely. I mean, being there, I must admit, it was very, very emotional, and I was very pleased as well, taking my a view from the bridge hat off and putting my Steelers hat on for a second, that my club could be involved as well, because I think he had a great time when he came over to Sheffield. There was one moment when I was stood on Boomerang Corner, actually, and Blake came on the screen, I think, for the Leprechaun. The whole Steelers team were banging their sticks on the boards and on the ice, and the kid has brought the hockey community together, and yes, we all echo the same sentiments. We wish him all the best.
When you know, I'm not one for clapping an away team off. I never have. Coach will tell you, he always used to think it was a terrible loser, but would never clap an away team on. They'd boo them the whole time there, and then they can go off in silence. But on Saturday night, we've just ended an 8-game series against them, as you say. We've split it 4 each, 2 at home, 2 away each. We've had our handshakes, they've done the man of matches. The Steelers have hung about for the Belfast man of match, and then all of the two rosters have come together for a photograph. And, you know, I'm not a great sport when it comes to sport, but that was a really nice touch of Sheffield to hang about. So, yes, not give the Sheffield Steelers very much credit over the course of the season, but that what they've done for the kids over there this season has been really good.
Yeah, David, I think you're 100% right on. You know, Hitchie touched on it as well. I can't remember clapping a team off this season. I think you can hear it when I do my comms on Saturday night. You know, the Steelers were excellent. For what that we, Blake, and the family are going through, and you know, it's going to be tough times for the next period. And you know, I've no doubt that the wee man will pull through. It's a big move and a big operation, and heading over to England. I know Laura's going to and hopefully get over for to see how he's getting on and stuff as well, but. Like I said, listen, I'm lucky enough I get to see him after every match and get a high five off him, and you know he's just an inspiration. And talking about young Dylan as well, you know, Dylan had to hand out the hugs on to Laura Small on Friday night, and he doesn't like hugging, but he said, you know, because he came up with the idea about the goal and Laura made it happen with Kiefer, you know, he basically got the hugs out and Laura was over the moon. So it's a whole, there's a lot of things, a lot of people behind the scenes that can make things like this happen. And when I was with Laura and Kiefer when this idea was again, it's Laura and Adam's brainchild, but it's when they called on that day, they called Derek into the room, and it was Derek's idea to basically, you know, to do it at the Sheffield game. You know, so he bought into it. You know, Blake is thinks that Nicker and Big Jim Vandermeer are just the dog's balls to a certain extent. And he does, you know, he loves the see a smile on his face and you know, just because he's in the ice rink. And it's fantastic. It does put a lump in your throat. And again, when you got the Saturday or Friday night, sorry, you know, I just let there was a part of the comms that I just finished and let the audience, the guys clap the whole thing off and watching Kiefer skate around with him. And then Big Jim Vandermeer was a real, real touching moment for him.
Absolutely. It was an honour to be there. Simon, before we finish any other business...
Sorry for jumping in. I'm jealous of him getting that goal. I really am. Goal for the Belfast Giants is something that I've always wanted to do. And he did it and I didn't. Rage.
Hitchie, if we've ever got 3 hour Spurs in the podcast, do you remember to ask Simon about, you know, how he could have been a Giant back at the very start? It's a great story.
You're
Get the bleep machine out. Any other business from you, Simon?
Was just whistling. I was in Bristol now. They hit him a slap.
Make sure your first one's a good one.
I know.
Well, there we go. We've looked at last weekend. We've had the one and only Todd Kelman on to look forward to this weekend. Davey will be in Cardiff, I'm sure, this weekend. Ladies, leave your husbands at home. I've been Mark Hitchcock, and we'll catch up with you next week. Thanks for your time, Davey.
Cheers, mate.
And thank you, as always, to the White Barry White, the Hunkosaurus, Simon Kitchen.
Thank you very much.
Good night. The Hunkosaurus. Just about against the world, to steal you around.